Here we are. It's a Friday on the WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, a Chickies Friday. Little gray outside, but it's always sunny when you're sitting next to Ike Reese. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
How about that? I like that, brother Spike. I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday. Got a chance to go over and check out the boys. Saw some, got to hear some pads popping.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's a lot of stuff going on. Jackie Baseball, we had the night off last night, but we got a big weekend series coming up. I'll let you boy.
I mean, you're sitting next to me and Jack Miller, too. You know, it's not just Ike you're sitting next to.
Well, but I was talking to him.
Right, but we're all sitting.
Well, okay. All right, here's the thing. Jack Miller's a good guy. He's not sunshine. And you were a little sad the last time I saw you, so I don't know if you're sunshine today either.
Yeah.
Listen, I know no one likes that version of Jack.
Sad Jack?
Yeah. I take the baseball team very seriously, maybe too seriously.
Yep.
But we've bounced back today.
All right.
Mostly.
All right. Mostly. Well, a big show today. It's always a big show. Elliot Shore-Barks joins us at 3 directly from training camp. Talk to Elliot about how the Eagles played and some potential unrest in Dallas.
Oh.
Tornado Shapiro joins us at 3:30 for the weekend forecast. We award the belt at 4:30. It's always a big show. But we are 20 hours from the trade deadline yesterday. We were emotional yesterday. You know, we were all happy with the Duran trade. We were all on the why can't I remember his name?
Bader.
On the Bader trade. But we believed, and I think it turned out to be true, that the Phillies were in talks to obtain Stephen Kwan, and we had all set our sights on Stephen Kwan. It didn't happen, and it kind of felt like a dud at the end of the deadline. So today's show, the main thing today is going to be how you are feeling the day after. We're 20 hours after the trade deadline, how we're feeling today. And if you don't mind, I will start off with how I'm feeling.
Oh, take the ball.
Go right ahead.
Well, the Phillies are better today than they were 48 hours ago. I think that is inarguable. They got debatably the best closer on the market, and they got an outfielder who is a good addition to the outfield. The problem is that even though the Phillies are better, I don't think the Phillies have a better chance to win the World Series than they did 2 days ago because everybody else got better. I mean, maybe not everybody else. The Cubs didn't really get better. The Red Sox didn't really get better. But the Mets sure as hell got better. And the Padres sure as hell got better. And the Yankees sure as hell got better. It's one thing to go into the deadline, get better, and put some distance between you and the other teams you're competing with. It's another thing to go into the deadline and have to make moves just to keep up with everybody else. And that's what they did. And they needed a bat, and they knew they needed a bat. And that is, like, the most troubling thing to me, is if they didn't know they needed a bat, they wouldn't have been in conversations with Arizona for Suarez. If they didn't know they needed a bat, they wouldn't have been in conversations with Cleveland about Stephen Kwan. And they didn't get it. And they have to know deep down that they failed during the trade deadline yesterday. And my bigger picture worry is, can the Phillies win the World Series this year? Sure. But they're in no better shape than they were 2 years ago. They can win the World Series in the same way that anybody can win the World Series once they're in the playoffs. But they had an opportunity yesterday to get themselves a player that would have put them not only in position to win the World Series this year, but potentially in better position to win the World Series in the coming years. And here is my big worry overall. My big worry is that the Phillies are a better organization today than before Dave Dombrowski got here. That's for sure. But truthfully, that's not that high a bar. The Phillies are a good organization. But when you look around the league, I know that John Middleton wants to be considered one of the organizations. And I just can't help but look around every trade deadline and to a certain extent in the offseason and see other teams that are at that elite level running circles around us. We are sitting here worried about trading one or two prospects when the San Diego Padres went and traded more than 10 prospects over the trade deadline and do this every single year. Like, they do this every single year. We are now facing a Mets team that is not only incredibly rich, but incredibly well-run. And I just have to wonder whether Dave Dombrowski, at 69 years old, is still the same Dave Dombrowski compared to every other general manager than he was 10 years ago or 15 years ago? And if he's not, does he know what he's doing and he's a good baseball guy? Yes. But you need more than that. You need more than that. And I don't know if the Phillies are more than that. Like, I know the Phillies can spend $300 million and get themselves a team that makes the playoffs. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We want to be an elite organization. So I guess my thought a day later is, did they get better? Yes. But it sort of feels like they put one foot in and one foot out yesterday. And that they're not comfortable with doing the things that other winning organizations do at the deadline to help them win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you said a mouthful there, and it's not much I can add to that other than I feel the same way I did yesterday. Not much has changed. I was certainly content once we hit the deadline at 6 o'clock and you knew there was nothing else bigger coming. You knew the major move had been made the day before. Yesterday they got Bader. We're going to see what he does. He's an improvement over what was out there. It's not something, Spike, that I think all of a sudden ignites a fan base. Now, if he goes out there and plays well and the team starts to play better, then sure, everybody will get behind it emotionally. But it's not one of those signings that comes in and now we all can't wait to see him play tonight.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, no. He's not that at all.
One of those, yep. So.
By the way, he's not playing tonight.
There you go.
Oh, that's crazy.
But is Duran going to play? Is he available?
Duran's here. They're working on the entrance earlier today.
Get it together. Okay. Get it together. He has to feel at home.
Yep.
He has to feel at home. Big weekend. But this is where we are with the team. So, for me, it pushes me more towards the stars have to play like stars if they're going to do it.
Oh, for sure.
So that's where it sort of pushes me more towards those guys are going to have to lead the way.
215-5.
Turner, Schwarbers, Harper.
Oh, it's on them.
They got to lead the way.
215-592-9494. A day later, what do you think the Phillies at the trade deadline, Jack?
So real quick, also, Johan Rojas optioned to AAA.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
Everyone's. I know he's the best punter in baseball, according to people yesterday that were calling in begging for more Rojas. But
yes,
he is back then at AAA. So I'm actually surprised at my inability to talk myself into this deadline because I tried. I really did. And I think Harrison Bader's good. I'm excited about the idea of Harrison Bader. I just wanted someone else. And I really feel like they blew it. Like, I just feel like they blew this deadline. I thought they got 80% of what they could have done. And if you couldn't have gotten another bat, which they could have gotten Ryan O'Hearn if they wanted. Eugenio Suarez did not go for what people thought he was going to go for.
They could have had Suarez if they wanted.
They could have had Suarez if they wanted. Even if you didn't want to do all that, you could have gone out and just made it a Super Bowl pen. Like, you could have. The Yankees yesterday got Bednar and Duvall. Like, they. There was other moves to be made, and it felt like we're close, but we're not going to go all in. We're gonna hold some of these prospects back. And you mentioned Dombrowski, right? Dombrowski is a guy that takes direction from ownership. With the Red Sox in 2018, they told him, burn it to the ground, whatever it takes, go win me a title. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this comes down to Middleton not wanting to sell the farm, get rid of all the prospects because he's worried about the ballpark not being filled if for some reason Schwarber's not here, for some reason JT's not here, and these guys get older and they're not as good. And while I hear that, I think that is – and I understand that. I think that that is about business versus baseball. And I think that they've gotten so – I think they've gotten more into the – business of having the ballpark filled every night and then being one of the teams in the mix, and they've gotten away from let's go win a world championship.
Yeah, I agree with you that Dombrowski takes his cues from Middleton, but I also think like the idea of selling the farm shouldn't even exist. Like I don't know how baseball teams can sell the farm. When I look at the elite organizations in baseball continuing, I'm not talking about small market organization. Those guys have to develop players through their system, and then once they get expensive, they leave. That's not the world that we're in, right? Like, they have to develop those guys and keep those guys because those guys have to be stars for them. Mm-hmm. But the elite organizations that are in big markets that spend money do both. They are able to trade prospects and pay guys and do all of those things. Mm-hmm. And like that is if we don't have enough of those guys, that's on Dombrowski too. Like, we should have enough to be able to withstand trading Aiden Miller. Mm-hmm. Now, I get you can have your untouchable. Everybody can have their untouchables. It's fine if Painter is their untouchable. But, like, then you need more to be able to hit those deals. And the other thing I'll say about Dombrowski is my worry about him also is his – and I'm projecting, I'm guessing here – is his insistence on winning the deals. That is what I worry about. What I worry about is his insistence on value when the real value is the player that you are getting. And what he did was is that he put all of his eggs in the Stephen Kwan basket in the trade deadline. That's what he did. He thought he could win the trade with the Guardians, or he would have gone out and gotten Suarez.
Hmm?
Or he would have gone out and gotten O'Hearn. Mm-hmm. But he was so confident in winning the deal that the Guardians would break that he let that go, you know? So that is a strategic error from him. I agree with you on Middleton, and I agree that he is probably scared of the future and those sorts of things, but there is a push and pull for both of them. Like, Dombrowski could tell him, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, and where I do agree with you is that, I mean, Max Kepler's a $10 million mistake.
Yes.
They could have used that $10 million on a better player. By the way, Max Kepler starting in left field tonight. So,
there you go.
So he's
there
still here.
Go.
The one thing that I've heard a lot, and Ike said it, and while I do agree, what makes me frustrated about not getting another bat is the idea of the Stars being the Stars. And while I do agree, I think they have to, they also might not be. Like, you know, I mean, we talk about the 08 team, right? Ryan Howard didn't hit a home run until game four of the World Series. Like, it's not like he was going off that postseason. The Stars weren't being Stars. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
That night he had two?
Yeah.
I mean, I was at that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the night he had two.
Yeah.
That was the first time he had gone yard.
He hadn't gone yard. It was game three or four, but he didn't go until that far into the postseason.
Okay.
You know, and like, Utley wasn't – he hit the home run off of Lowe against the Dodgers, but wasn't going off, and he hit the game – until game one of the World Series, the home run to put him ahead. Like, I just wanted – more – another bat there to spread out the possibility of Schwarber not doing what he did in the Mets series last year.
Yep.
Or Turner going back into being a pumpkin in the postseason last year. And God forbid if Harper's not how Harper has been in the postseason. Like, that's my concern.
Yeah, and the Stars do have to do what they do. But then if they don't, remember, it is the team that invested in those players. Mm-hmm. And it's the $10 million for Kepler and the $20-plus million for Castellanos and the $20 million a year for Taiwan Walker. Like, think about that. Add up the production of that. That's what they are paying Nick Castellanos, Taiwan Walker, and Max Kepler is what Juan Soto gets paid.
The Castellanos and Taiwan...
like, think about the difference in production there.
The Castellanos and Taiwan Walker deals are the two biggest... like, things that are hurting this franchise's ability to win a World Series right now.
Yes.
Because they can't use that money on – they're already over the fourth wall of the luxury tax or whatever, and they have pretty unproductive $40 million – well, in that case, adding Kepler, $50 million.
$50 million.
Yeah.
$50 million a year. All right. 215-592-9494. A day later, what do you think of the Phillies trade deadline? I did have an idea for our next question today. We didn't talk about it, but I thought it was a good idea. You want to give it a try or no? Skip it. It's up to you.
Well, we don't know what it is.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. So it's the 44th birthday of MTV. Today, MTV started today 44 years ago. Just going to ask your favorite music video of all time. Now I know Ike will have them. I don't know if Jack's going to have
Jack
them.
Jack doesn't even know what a damn music video is.
Yeah.
Well,
do you have an answer?
I watched country music TV growing up.
Okay, all right.
So I watch country music videos.
Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
get out of here.
I got nothing for you.
Do you have one?
Oh, man, I got
I mean, there's so
several.
Many.
Yeah,
good
I got
ones.
Several. I'll start out with the first video that I guess I fell in love with. You got to go with Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Thriller was...
Yeah.
The Thriller video was on every hour on MTV, along with the making of Thriller.
I think I saw it in school. I think they showed it to us.
It was so big.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was like 9 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because it was part movie, part video.
Yes.
It was incredible. The Thriller video was incredible.
Yep.
My favorite all-time video is the one for One by Metallica. It was a performance from them in a room, but also had clips from this movie, Johnny Got His Gun, which was about a soldier in a war, lost all, like couldn't talk, couldn't hear, didn't have arms or legs, but was alive. And the whole movie was his thoughts with the doctors around there. That was the video. So it was about the torment of war. Yes. Yeah.
He couldn't talk.
Yes.
He couldn't hear.
Yes, but he was, well, he could hear. I'm sorry. He couldn't talk. Yes.
Couldn't talk.
Yes. No arms, no legs.
No arms, no legs.
Yes, that's the movie. Johnny Got His Gun. Came out in the 70s.
Just go ahead and end it, man.
Well, but that's what the movie is him trying to get them to do it, but he couldn't talk. It's pretty tough, man.
Nor could he give any type of gesture to say what he wanted to do.
He ended up starting doing Morse code with his head, so they were saying, dude, it's a pretty depressing movie. His head. He was doing Morse code. He was bouncing his head Morse code. Dude, I'm telling you, it's an intense movie.
Watch, man.
Yeah. It's an intense movie. All right. 2155. Yes, that's exactly what was happening.
All right, one more question.
Yeah.
How was this? How is this being shown with no legs and no arms? Is he? He's a character. Right?
Well, no. The music video has them performing, and it splices in parts of this movie with the soldier. He's laying in a bed with a cover over him, with something over his face, and all you hear is his thoughts as the doctors are talking around him.
Was it an entertaining movie?
It is a stressful movie. Let me put it that way.
Holy cow.
Yeah, man. It is a stressful movie. Didn't mean to bum everyone.
Yeah. No, off of yesterday's deadline.
It was your description of the main character that caught my...
Well, I thought about it, and I'm like, do I want to describe, or do I just want to say One by Metallica? One by Metallica, and it made them mainstream, that video thing, believe it or not. It was all over MTV. All right, 215-592-9494. One day after the trade deadline, what are you thinking for next question today? Your favorite music video of all time. Coming up next, Dave Dombrowski did talk yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He said some things that seemed to infuriate everyone. So we will hear one of those things coming up next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Remember, fantasy football draft time is almost here. You can book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Friday, so we're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Remember, big parties and big events always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpetes.com. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you feel better or worse about the Phillies today after the trade deadline? Better or worse? Now, Ike, I know you said you feel the same.
Uh-huh.
What do you think the poll is at? Better or worse?
I think people have sort of talked themselves into, you know, feeling better about the team. Like, they love the Durant acquisition. He's going to be here for multiple years. They obviously see that Bader as an improvement over what was out there in the outfield. So I think most people will say they feel better. What does that say as to whether or not they feel like they can win a World Series? That's different. But
right,
I think most people will say they feel better.
You want to give me a percentage?
I'll go... not a crazy number, somewhere around 60-40. Let's go 63%.
See, you're back. You're back on the guess. 57%, but right there in that range.
All right.
I think the thing that it made – I tried to talk myself into it. I was like, well, I like Bader and Duran, and Kwan didn't even get traded and blah, blah, blah. But I ended up feeling worse about them organizationally. I started thinking big picture and less about the team specifically.
Right.
Because really, they're either going to get in the playoffs and hit, or they're not going to. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. Probably won't, but who knows. Like, I'm just thinking about the future. And I'm also thinking, like, if your entire future is based on whether Andrew Painter is good, these friggin' two guys we're talking about, Aiden Miller and Andrew Painter, That's really who we're talking about. Justin Crawford's a nice prospect. He's fine. I'm a little worried. Like, I'm a little worried that the cavalry is not coming, you know, that it's one or two players.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Big news out of the NFL. We will get to that right after we talk to Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Man, so I don't want to sound like, you know, ungrateful or nothing, but I do feel like the team got better. Like you say, Yon Duran coming in closer multiple years. Bader, nice outfield pickup. But like what are we doing with this team? Like last year, Middleton clubhouse. Oh, I want my trophy back. Like what are we doing? Just like trying to make YouTube videos out here. Like I don't know what this team really wants to do. Like Bryce Harper is 33 years old, about to be 34, I think. Like I like Andrew Painter, I like Aiden Miller, Crawford, like you said, cute little prospect. But it's like, are these dudes about to come in and change the game? Like, I get it, they're young and we don't know. I don't know if they expect them to, like, open the window, but we trying to win the World Series now. Like, you got guys that's on their later ends of their 20s, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, they're in their 30s, Trey Turner going into his 30s. Like, it's like, the younger guys on this team, we got a lot of questions about, like, Bryson Stott. Like, we don't know if he a player or not. Like, he's batting at the end of the lineup. Alec Bohm, you know, here today, yin, yin, yang, out, not here tomorrow. Like, it's like, we trying to win now. Our window is now. And, like, I know you don't want to, like Spike talked about, you want to win. Like, I think Dombrowski trying to, like, win the trade and don't want to look like he got heist or whatever. But if you win a World Series, ain't nobody going to care about that. But I'm going to take what they will care about, right? If Justin Crawford go out there and he can't play, or Aiden Miller comes up to the major league and he's not that good, or Andrew Painter can't pitch, and we don't win a World Series, that will be talked about. You know, so it's like I don't care about, you know, prospects. Like I get it. Like I'm not the baseball aficionado like Jack is. So like my knowledge isn't as deep. I just know winning, right? And I know. I want a guy that's going to do whatever it takes to win. Not half foot in, not half foot out, not weak five.
As long as the team's great around him, I agree, yeah.
This guy, bro. I tell you, man.
You push him into a corner.
Well, I was just like, yeah, I too would like a guy to do what it takes to win, as long as he has, you know, monsters around him.
I'm in my soliloquy, and this guy come from left field with a shot. What is
Yeah. Another and practice today.
Yeah, see, look at him.
All you guys are deflecting off of a bad camp.
We become this good baseball show. We got Corey and Columbus out here giving his real take, and Jack is
Jack
just,
doesn't want anybody's baseball take.
No, he doesn't.
I'm listening.
About the baseball team.
I know.
I'm saying is, like, we want to win. Like we saw what happened with the Eagles. Like, imagine if the Phillies, like the Eagles won a Super Bowl, what, 7-8 years ago, and we got another, you know. Imagine with the Phillies, who hasn't won since 08. You know what I'm saying? If they won
a World Series. That's what kills me, too, is that, like, I thought they had an opportunity today to have this city on fire.
Oh, if they had gotten Stephen Kwan, we would have been on fire.
Yeah, I think you might have actually lit yourself on fire.
Yeah. I would have been at the team store telling them, you can make me a jersey with Kwan on the back.
Yeah. Powder blue.
Yeah. Let's go.
Like that, and that's what kind of hurts today.
Size small.
Is that they had that opportunity, and now I feel like there's a lot of people out there, and I think it's totally fair. I'm not, like, saying this is a bad thing. They're like, well, the Eagles are right around the corner. You know what I mean? And that's... that's the mark they missed.
Yeah, I think with the Phillies now, that they're able to have the distraction of the Eagles and wait and see on the Phillies. But if they had had the trade deadline yesterday, they would have had the opportunity to have everyone truly looking forward and believing.
To take over the city. And it's like just closing out, like I don't like relying on what we got. Like, we've been relying on these dudes for the past 3 years. Like, we saw what happened last year, like you said. Schwarber, we love him, but he turtled up. You know, like, we keep saying, oh, Bryce gonna get going, but like we need more than just Bryce. You know, I need more than just Bryce. So Bader, can you do something? Stott, like, Castellanos, you're terrible. Like, I can't just keep relying on Bryce Harper to do something. I need the rest of these dudes too. And we've been waiting on that the past 3 postseasons, and it hasn't happened.
Yep. Corey, next question today. Yeah, it is MTV's 44th birthday. Not as old as me and Ike, but still pretty old. What's your favorite video?
All right, so listen. This is the greatest debut album. And when this song came out, it's still bumped today. That's In the Club by 50 Cent. That's the greatest.
Oh, that was a big one. That was a big one. Yep. That was a big one. All right, Corey. Thank you, man.
Huge song, nice video, still remember it.
Oh yeah, big one.
Upside down rapping,
Here's what Dave Dombrowski said about the roster after the trade deadline yesterday.
Were there deals or opportunities or discussions today with teams where, like you mentioned last night, they were asking for Andrew Painter or maybe another top prospect?
Well, we had a lot of conversations still today. We could have made other trades like anybody could make more. We're very comfortable. We've added where we think we needed to add. We added a couple guys to our bullpen that we're very happy. People almost forget about David Robertson at this time because he's not here.
Oh, geez.
He's out there throwing. So between David and then Juan, I mean, all of a sudden we've got two good additions from the right-hand side. Alvarado's not too far away either, but those two guys there and then getting a right-handing outfielder was our main thing. We talked to – basically, I can't tell you there was any club – over the last time period that we did not speak to. There was no stone unturned, but we felt good with our club. We didn't have a lot of gaping holes. Some of, again, our offensive improvement's going to have to come internally. Mm-hmm. We think it can. It's just like all of a sudden you see Brandon Marsh hit a couple home runs the last couple of days. We think can drive the ball more than he has in the past.
I haven't heard this whole quote.
That. Some of that's going to have to come internal. But we feel comfortable with the guys that we got and really weren't enticed to trade the big names, although some of our top prospects, people still asked about them.
Okay. First of all, don't remind me of the 40-year-old guy that wasn't even playing for a baseball team this year that you signed that is coming for the bullpen. Second of all, don't remind me about the other guy who has a PED suspension and can't even pitch in the playoffs, and we don't even know if he's going to be as good when he returns because he can't do the PEDs anymore.
That's true.
And I know you like the players that you got. And then he did the thing, for Christ's sake, that Marsh has hit a couple of home runs in the last couple of months. And that they don't have any gaping holes, and the improvement has to come from within the team that you signed. And, by the way, no gaping holes. The entire outfield is a gaping hole. It is. Harrison Bader is a nice player. You have Max Kepler starting in left field who is hitting 200. Nick Castellanos, who can't catch a ball without falling down out there in right field, who you've been dying to trade for 3 years. Like, what I wonder, Ike, is... I know Dave Dombrowski has not been with the team as long as Joe Banner and Andy Reid were with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. But what Joe Banner and Andy Reid did is they brought the team back to relevance and made them a good organization. But the point came where those guys, specifically Joe Banner, and it wasn't going to happen here, right? They needed to find – now, they went and hired Chip Kelly, which was a bold hire. Didn't work out. But I would argue that the guts that it took to do that, to move on from trusted voices. Andy Reid was a trusted voice to Jeff Lurie. And Joe Banner was a trusted voice to Jeff Lurie. He had the confidence to go and take a chance on somebody who thought forward. And by the way, if they never take the Chip Kelly chance, they're never in the position that they are now.
Sure.
Not that all those things happen, but you don't hire Doug. And all of those things. And I just wonder if Dombrowski has done what he can do here to bring them to a level of organization that is respected, but whether they need to do the thing that takes them to the next level so they can be like the Eagles have moved. The Eagles are considered a glamour franchise in the NFL, and they weren't before they won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he has done everything that he can do. As far as significant changes, right? So a lot of this is going to be moving forward about how do these young players develop. I mean, do they get to a point next year where they all of a sudden say, yeah, we will trade Andrew Payne or Aiden Miller or, you know what I mean, or Justin Crawford. I don't know if that happens even next year. So they certainly are relying on these young guys to come up and fill some holes in the next couple of years. And I think Dave is taking orders from up top that we're on a cost control sort of operation here, and you got to do the best you can with what we have, right? Like, I think there's going to be a directive to re-sign Kyle Schwarber because, quite frankly, after not doing much offensively at the trade deadline, can you imagine that PR hit they'll take if they let Kyle Schwarber walk?
Oh, yeah, they can't.
So now you can't let Kyle Schwarber go anywhere. So they're going to have to pay him. You're going to have to pay JT for another couple of years, right? And Ranger is probably walking, which is why they probably want Andrew Painter to be able to step in to fill his void.
Well, and you mentioned the cost thing. Where is that changing? Because if you sign Kyle Schwarber, you're going to pay him more money than you're paying him already.
That's the hole they dug themselves. They backed themselves into this corner. Yeah,
and that Taiwan Castellanos thing is still there next
year. Still there.
Yep. It's still there next year.
Yep.
We have big news out of the NFC East. Out of the Cowboys that may have something to do with the Eagles. I will tell you about it right after I tell you about Colonial Hyundai at Downingtown. Now, it's the summer, right? Dog days of summer. It's not hot today, but it was scorching the last few days. Your AC in your car, maybe not what it used to be because your car isn't what it used to be. Go to Colonial Hyundai at Downingtown. The cars are John Ashdale. Speaking of the dog days of summer, going to throw you a bone. Save up to 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. That's 10 grand. Up to 10 grand you could save. You'd be driving out a brand new Tucson or a Palisade. Also, for a limited time only at Colonial, how about financing as low as 0%? And that piece of junk that you're driving, they're going to guarantee you at least $6,500 for that piece of junk, no matter what condition it's in. And as always, your new Hyundai at Colonial is going to come with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. And speaking of dog days of summer, every new Hyundai that gets sold at Colonial this month, they donate $100 to the Brandywine Valley SPCA. I don't know anybody that works there, Brandywine Valley Mm-mm. SPCA. Nothing, Mm-mm. no personal connection there.
Wow.
But that is a good thing as well. Do not wait. Run to Colonial Hyundai on Route 30 in Downingtown or online at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy Hyundai. See website for details. So official news. Now, we've heard the rumblings out of Dallas all offseason.
Yeah.
Between Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones, or as Jerry Jones likes to call him, Michael Parson.
Michael, what, was that the one you think that?
Yeah.
That was the backbreaker.
Or was it when he said that CeeDee Lamb got bigger?
Bigger cheers
for free signing him.
Micah Parsons has requested a trade from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if I am to bet, this ends with the Dallas Cowboys giving him the biggest contract any defensive end has ever gotten, September 2nd. That would be my guess. But, and you would have to imagine, there is very little chance that Jerry Jones would trade Micah Parsons or Michael Parson to the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'd say there's no chance he trades Michael Parsons here. I'd say zero.
Let's say he would.
Okay.
What would your tolerance be for a Micah Parsons trade? Like, would you trade 2 first-round picks and Nolan Smith for Micah Parsons?
Ooh-wee.
That's what his value's got to be. It's got to be 2 first.
Yeah, I'm not trading 2 first round picks and Nolan Smith.
1 first round pick and Nolan Smith?
I would consider 1 first round pick and Nolan Smith. Yes.
2 first round picks? I'm just going to keep throwing.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Two first round picks without Nolan Smith.
Correct. Just 2 first.
No, I'm going to have to trade Nolan Smith.
Okay, so you'd rather do 1 and Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
And final question, would you do 2 firsts and Jalix Hunt?
It's 58 right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was told Michael Parsons.
You're going to get Michael 58.
Yeah.
Because he can't get AJ's number.
No? Well, it's Carson's number. But
I'll tell you, I would go do it. I think Michael Parsons is great. I would humbly ask him to stop doing his little radio show or Twitch show.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's podcast. Yeah.
You think he's doing a radio show?
Yeah. Well, whatever it is.
Well, what about for our purposes, what about the Micah Parsons show?
Well, right after the Jordan, maybe it goes Jordan Mailata, then Players Lounge, then Micah Parsons.
No.
Yeah.
No, Michael Parsons is on the Players Lounge.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you call Pete. Pete, that check is going to be, that's going to have to be a 14-inch wide check to fit the. Jack, would you trade for Micah Parsons?
No. First off, he's a Cowboy.
Oh, will you stop it.
Can I get an amen?
You are.
Well, he's just a loser, dude. I got no interest in Micah Parsons.
He's a loser?
He's a total loser.
You take Michael Parsons.
Dude, for all the social media stuff, the flirting with other teams all the time, him getting exposed in the Packers game in the postseason where he did nothing. All you got to do is run at Micah Parsons. Was trying to tell Jeff Statlin that for years. Like, it would be fun content. I totally agree. Not a winner.
No, dude. And no one's a winner until they come here.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny?
I'd take Michael Parsons in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, of course. Do you know what's funny?
Is he 25 years old?
We think Jack is trolling. He's not. He told me before on air, he's like, Michael Parsons a loser.
He is a loser. I don't want Michael Parsons.
Wow.
Yeah, we change all that once he comes here.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton was a loser before he got here.
We change all that when he comes here.
Now Bryce Huff, Devin White.
You know why he doesn't want Michael Parsons here?
Why?
Wait,
he doesn't want them to win another Super Bowl?
Exactly.
Listen,
the dominance would continue.
Yeah, I know. They did nothing at the trade deadline.
Meanwhile, his team's over here getting Harrison Bader.
Don't make me start calling him master.
I know Fritz, man. And Fritz, he's...
We got Johan Durant, all right?
Yeah, we did. You did. But the idea of the Eagles, because he knows if it actually became available, he'd be like, yeah, Howie has more of a chance of getting Michael Parsons than we ever had of getting Stephen Kwan.
Can I tell you?
Kwan's better, too.
You think Howie would have allowed Andrew Painter to keep him from getting Stephen Kwan?
No, he would not have.
I think he would. I think he understands the future of the franchise.
Well, I don't know. Get him on the phone. If we get to talk to Howie
before the season starts,
that's what I'm going to ask him. He's not going to answer, and as usual with Howie, I'm going to ask him again in a different way. Dude, I would take Michael Parsons.
He's a beast. Yeah. I like Micah coming out of college. I remember me and Glenn Mann arguing on draft night.
He was the Devontae draft.
Right? Yeah, that was the Devontae draft.
Because I remember
I wanted Patrick Surtain or Michael Parsons.
And it wasn't that hot for Parsons with the Eagles. Like, I remember it wasn't like a big there wasn't like a push to get
Nope.
He was kind of just out there.
Well, and Yes.
Ike chants. Yeah.
Well, and Richie had flooded the airwaves with Parsons hate.
Yes, he did. He did. He personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. He was saying that like he coached him to camp when he was five. And
Michael was a
knew he was a dog.
Then,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And an 8-year-old.
Why don't you ask what happened to Richie when he was at camp? There are some questions.
I think wasn't he at Penn State?
He was at Sandusky was his.
Oh, God.
It was. I just.
Oh, God.
He said he didn't notice anything weird.
Oh, God.
That's what he said.
Is there something? Never mind.
All right, yeah, well, we should stop.
Move
there.
On.
All right, 215-592-9494. I would take Micah Parsons.
Yes, back to Micah. Yes.
I thought we were getting back to the Sandusky Richie scandal. Bader and Durant?
Yeah, Bader and Durant.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're over here trade for Harrison Bader.
Yeah, dude, I know. All right? I know. I got it. Ha ha. Wait till they win the World Series.
215-592-9494.
And you guys didn't break down Matt Manning, which is also equally as disappointing. I told you there's a move coming, and it's 620.
They completely traded for Matt Manning.
I didn't know what the hell that was. I was like, is this real?
Yeah, come on, man.
Do you want to tell everybody who he is?
So he's a former top 100 prospect, a former first round pick that Nebraska drafted in 2016. He could be Jeff Hoffman. He was sent straight to Clearwater to go in their pitching lab, and maybe next year he can help the bowl.
You know what Dombrowski
loves? Did you say next year?
Yeah, he's not this year.
So he's not.
He was drafted. Don't worry, Ike. He was only drafted 10 years ago.
Yeah,
hold on.
That's what I'm going to say.
They drafted him when he was 9?
You said 2016.
Yeah.
Hoffman was drafted in 2015. He didn't break out until last year.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, I thought we traded for somebody that we could use.
No. This is about acquiring depth of the organization.
Dave Dombrowski is excellent at the guy that might be good. How many guys that might be good?
But I love guys that might be good. It's exciting.
Potential.
Colonel in Massachusetts. You're on WIP. Colonel. What's up, Colonel? Yeah, that's what it says.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, Colonel?
Best radio show.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
The only way to beat Boston traffic is listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, Boston traffic's ridiculous. Why aren't you taking the... the T or whatever they call it?
Why is Boston traffic ridiculous?
It's horrible.
Is it worse than D.C.?
It's on par with D.C. Yeah.
It's on par with D.C.
Small lanes.
Yeah. Oh, it's certainly worse than
D.C. I didn't know we knew Boston traffic the way that we did on this show.
I was up there the last 2 years for my daughter's volleyball.
Oh, right.
Boston traffic is terrible. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm a big Fritzman.
Okay.
So I just want to...
Oh, he's a Fritzman?
You guys are the best show.
Okay.
So let's hit on the Phillies first. When Dombrowski was up here, he would just burn through the prospects, but it got us a World Series. So that kind of helps.
Yeah, well, that's...
Last time,
But that's how you do it. It's like it feels like you have to do one or the other. You either have to like be committed to developing and having those guys play, or be willing to trade those guys to go win a World Series. And when you can spend money, like it's a similar thing with the Red Sox. The Red Sox are in a major market; they can spend money. When you can spend money, you can afford to trade those guys. I mean, look at who is productive in with the Phillies right now. How many of them are born and bred Phillies? Like none of them.
Yeah, I mean, and the development of Stott and Bohm is killing them.
Right. So,
and by the way, they're almost 30. You know, it's not like they're kids.
Yeah, like go.
Bohm
get
has developed fine.
Oh yeah.
He's not a power hitter.
Yeah, but you keep saying this.
But he never was a power hitter.
He's been the same player for 3 years. He's gotten better defensively. Great. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't care.
No, you don't care.
Don't care. Hit the ball.
Out the park.
Well, or in the gaps.
Yeah.
Let's get back to doubles.
He's a gap hitter last year.
This year, he is a 6'5".
Yeah, this year, I got to admit, there's been a lot of
singles this
year. Yeah, a lot of singles this year.
Well, he had a little run when they were playing in Little League Parks in Colorado when he was hitting home runs. And everybody was like,
Sacramento,
see?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Colonel. Go ahead.
All right, so last time I called you guys was about this time last year. So I live up here, but I'm an Eagles fan, and I was taking my boys for the first time down the shore. We had just wrapped up when the Eagles were doing the joint practice with the Patriots, and then the preseason game, and all my kids said, Jalen, offense and defense looked amazing. So they knew it was a special team. And from there, it was kind of like, we knew this was going to be a good season.
Yep.
To us, we're going back this week because Washington's up here. And instead of rooting on the Eagles, we're going to be on the other side, you know.
Yeah, boom.
Asking where Terry is, going after.
There you go. Yeah, go to camp and scream, where's McLaurin?
And where are you going to wear Eagles stuff?
Yeah, make sure you wear Eagles gear.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I got my Carter shirt. My son's got his Hurts jersey. We're good to go.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Colonel. We appreciate the – for next question today, what's your favorite music video of all time in honor of MTV's birthday?
He had to be a certain age, so it's not creepy, but if you were of a certain age, that first Britney Spears video that came out was on point.
Yeah, it was something else, man. Yep.
We lost Spike.
Hit me one more time.
Oh, yeah? I don't even remember. Yeah. I know the song. I don't think I've seen the video.
A lot of school.
Is that the? Yeah.
Oh, man. Hold on.
No.
Yeah. Hold on, man.
I was in college. I was a young man.
Yeah.
You know, I was a young man.
I remember the video
where's,
now.
Where's your sock?
I was a young man.
Where's your sock?
Hey, enough out of you. What are you doing?
What?
You are on Fridays.
You're out of control,
on Fridays, you are a dangerous guy. All right. Coming up next, LA Shore Parks came over here right from training camp. We will find out how everyone looked. Jalen has had a few down practices. We'll find out if that changed today.
Did you smile?
No. I'm smiling because Elliot is showing up. And we'll talk to him about the unrest in the NFC East with Terry McLaurin requesting a trade.
Back to back.
Micah Parsons requesting a trade. And you, do you feel better or worse about the Phillies trade deadline one day later? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.